Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, the year of our Lord 2025. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're all doing well today. It's Terrible Tuesday on the Chiefs Sports Network. Inside the Gamecocks goes at 10 o'clock to 1. Preston Thorne, always in on Terrible Tuesday. Preston makes Terrible Tuesday not so terrible. Mad Dog and I and Jamie will be along. Jamie's going to get you caught up on all the baseball stuff. And you never know, there may be a surprise guest or two that pops in this week. Just to let you know, the Chief Sports Network is taking its annual summer hiatus. The last show for ITG until SEC Media Days in July will be next Friday. Now, this Friday, next Friday, I'll be off ITG Friday because I'm going to Columbia for the Wing Eating Contest, the fourth annual Wing Off. You can go to cockyhospitality.com. RSVP right there for that free event. Got lots of players signed up so far. Jeff and Ryan doing a great job. 4 o'clock p.m. Saturday, CB18 Bar and Grill. Come by. I'd love to meet every one of you if possible. Just come find me. You can't miss me. And all that. It's just a great time. Just thankful that, you know, since we started this, for NIL thing, and it's still a fundraiser for NIL, puts money in players' pockets. Way back for Carolina Rise, you know, which is now part of Garnet Trust, that they've, Ryan and Jeff have carried on the idea, and they do all the work. I mean, for it, it's, I just sort of show up and help get the word out. But, just thankful for those guys, thankful for their friendship and all that good stuff. I wanted to give them a shout out this morning. I think it doesn't get said enough how much they do behind the scenes to just push a positive narrative about the University of South Carolina forward, and they do everything they possibly can to help, whether that's financially, time-wise, just blanket support. You know, those guys are first class, and just wanted to start off the show by saying that. Shout out to those guys. And go RSVP, cockyhospitality.com, and hopefully we'll see you there. It's supposed to be good weather Saturday, so that's good. Live music, a dunk tank, all that good stuff. So at least the – all right, so let me back up about the weather. I checked the forecast for Columbia 2 days ago, or maybe early yesterday morning, so obviously we know that changes. The weather app isn't always accurate that far out, so hopefully it's good weather. I don't want to get in trouble like that. I always say, like, covering recruiting sometimes is you're like the weatherman, you know, you do the best you can to prognosticate things. College football in general is that way now. But sometimes you end up dead wrong because you can't control the weather, just like you can't control recruits and you can't control college football. That's just the way of the world. So some similarities there. So it's not a surprise that I'm sitting here talking about the weather, maybe out of my bahunkas this morning. Going to be a little shorter episode today of Coffee, just because of time, subject matter, all that good stuff. I think sometimes I say that at the beginning and then it ends up being 30, 45 minutes. So we'll see. Just a quick baseball note. There's a lot going on with recruiting, and Kevin Schnall and his staff have hit the ground running. I will say yesterday, I just wanted to meet, this is kind of the highlight of yesterday, Dominic Carbone, who was a preseason All-American last year for Coastal. I was a reliever, I think their closer on the World Series runner-up team. He's from the state of New York. He commits to South Carolina, so he's coming. That's a big, big pitcher pickup for the Gamecocks. He's a lefty, and he's really, really good. You know, Coastal, you know, when you watch their season, I don't know if many of you know this, so there's Hayden Johnson and Dominic Carbone. Those are the two guys they were kind of counting on to lead their pitching staff this year. And, you know, they both got hurt. We know how that is around the University of South Carolina. When your top pitchers get hurt, it seems like it's happened every year. If you looked at Schnall's comments at Coastal as the coach this year down the stretch, he kept talking about how proud he was of the team. You know, and some folks out there that were maybe in the anti-Schnall category, talked about, you know, well, they slipped this year. He had the one good year. Maybe that was Gary Gilmore. And I'll say this, you know, I don't know how he's going to do it. South Carolina, you could have hired Scott Forbes from North Carolina, and it had been a universally celebrated hire, and things don't go well. I do think I agree with Mike Morgan that the program is due. South Carolina baseball is due. It's been, you know, usually your great programs, they don't go through more than like three intermediate coaches, and then they finally hit on another one, cycle back up. So Carolina baseball is due to get back. So I'm confident it will work out, but it may not. But, you know, I don't think some of the folks that were just kind of looking at the record and saying, oh, well, they slipped back to a two seed this year or whatever, maybe dug into the fact that their top two pitchers were hurt. And that's important, obviously. And we've seen it here at South Carolina. But Dominic Carbone getting healthy, getting back, that's going to be a big deal for the Gamecocks. There's some other commits, and Jamie will have all that for you on ITG. He knows a lot more about it than I do. There's also some Tyler Pitzer, who was in at Carolina, back in the portal, went to Mississippi State. You know, maybe keep an eye on that one a little bit. Lots of pitchers coming back in the far coming in the fold for the Gamecocks. That's, I think, job number one is retool your pitching staff if you're Kevin Schnall and Matt Williams. And certainly you can tell Matt Williams' connections are sort of paying off. I mean, they got this guy Brock Johnson from JUCO. This guy's from Wyoming originally. And they got a commit from high school kid that's out of school in Arizona the other day. They got a catcher in the 2027 class from California. You know, so when Kevin Schnall talked about working inside out and then mentioning that he's not afraid to go coast to coast to get the best players, I think that's what he meant. You know, you got all these South Carolina guys as your core, and then boom, 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 you're going all over the place. You know, I love geography when it comes to recruiting, even in baseball, and that's interesting. I think that's a good plan, right? Because you get the best of both worlds. You get your in-state base, the guys that love to put on the uniform, that know all about it. That's contagious. And then you get super-duper talent, you know, in theory, from across the country. It's kind of like a football has been slowly working toward. And that's today's football topic. We're getting back on the recruiting thing because there's a little bit of positive news out there. You know, it's been kind of gloom and doom. You know, I talked the other day about the visitors this weekend. I said, I don't think they're going to get any of them. Well, I was wrong. Again, the weatherman thing. And so I reserve the right to change my opinion right before an announcement. I think Amari Patterson could very well come the Gamecocks' way. And this is based on, you know, further feedback from his visit. This is based on information that Chad Simmons from Rivals passed along on thebigspur.com/GamecockCentral. I think he's made a prediction in that way. And just kind of looking at the momentum and trending for the Bluffton speedy receiver. You know, you look at South Carolina's roster, and yes, they have a lot of second-year receivers that are blue-chip guys that are pretty good, and you're like, well, you need another receiver. Well, when you recruit, you're kind of doing it for down the road. So by the time these guys get to campus, Amari Patterson and the other two that they have committed, Robinson and Huggins. Oh, DJ. By the time they get to campus, you know, those guys are all going to be in their third year. You know, I mean, have in theory two more, but the NCAA is going to pass that rule for 5 years. But, you know, there's some separation there, and down the road, you want guys that will develop, and you know, you've got to account for injuries, and then you're losing some guys that are older. So, you know, and then in this offense, they run 3 and 4, 5 wide sets all the time. So there's a lot more opportunity to get out there and play for talented guys. The state of South Carolina also produces a slew of talented receivers. Wes Mitchell, and if you sign up for GamecockCentral.com, thebigspur.com for $1 right now, you can read it. He put some film up of a kid from Fairfield Central. It's unbelievable film. Wide receiver from the state, under the radar, I think camped last night. So, yeah, keep an eye on that. I'd take as many as you can from within the state. I really would. You can never have too much depth and competition at a certain position. And yeah, especially if the finances work out or whatever. So Amari Patterson announced at 6 o'clock on Saturday. I believe that's a YouTube announcement. I'll obviously be in Columbia at the time, but there will be complete coverage on GamecockCentral.com. But I think the Gamecocks are trending there. You know, we got some time between now and Saturday. He did visit North Carolina. We'll see. We'll see if it turns out the Gamecocks way. But I feel more confident now about Patterson than maybe I did. So, you know, it's just kind of been downward trending for a while. When you talk about the overall recruiting thing, but and the Gamecocks did get in a little late on Patterson, you know, and also, frankly, that part of the state, since maybe the Devin Taylor, Jimmy Legree days, the Buford Hilton hit, when there has been a player down there, Carolina hadn't gotten them. You know, part of it's one of the high schools down there, the coach, let's just say his players tend to go out of state, but that's a part of the state that historically, at times, Buford, Hilton Head, Bluffton, has put out talent. And obviously, it's a growing part of the state. Obviously, it has been for a while. So, Amari Patterson is one of the ones that popped up. You know, when he first kind of came on the radar, Kirby Smart from Georgia, it's like I saw on X, Kirby Smart's at Bluffton High today. And I'm like, where? What's he doing at Bluffton? It's like there's an underclassman there. And I looked and it was Amari Patterson. And then all of a sudden he's in the databases and has Georgia and Florida and everybody else. Very fast receiver. I'll get more into his game moving forward. But it does look good for the home team right now when it comes to him. So that would be a four-star in-state guy that I think kind of settled people down. Not that anybody needs to settle down, man. I mean, until you start winning. Again, people are going to be anxious and nervous about things because they care. So I don't mean to say that. You know, sometimes I'm like, you know, it's broadcaster speak, and I'm guilty of it, honestly. Oh, fans, settle down. You know, I shouldn't say that, right? The very fact you're listening to this podcast or watching on YouTube means that you care deeply. How am I supposed to sit here and tell you not to react passionately to something that you care deeply about, right? I was just thinking about that the other day. Why do we say settle down? Settle down, Beavis. Settle down. No, so you don't have to settle down, right? You can go from angry to happy to angry and all that because that's part of being a fan. And guess what? It makes it fun. Sports are supposed to be fun. It's not fun when you lose. It's not fun when you put that passion and emotion into something and you don't get the desired outcome. That's life. But you know, so that's not fun. And but it sure is fun to follow and the ups and downs and all that. That's kind of what keeps us coming back and the excitement of a potential victory, turnaround, recruit, whatever. You know, and in the world today, there are a lot of serious things going on, and sports is a release. It's a uniting thing in many ways. Although, if the political part of it with college sports doesn't get solved soon, you know, I could see that becoming very tribalistic. But it's supposed to be fun, so I'm not gonna settle everybody down. I'm gonna stop saying that, you know. Yeah, Steve Spurrier in his press conference, he'd go and say something. No, I was talking to Jerry the other day, and I'm not going to say that anymore. He'd try, you know. I'm not going to say that anymore. Shouldn't say that. Well, that's what I'm going to try to do is to stop telling the fans to settle down around here because the opposite of, I mean, you know, the opposite of that's apathy and you know. More losing seasons like that, you start stringing them out. And, you know, that's the reality. You know, apathy is going to set in, and none of us want that. That's not the Gamecocks. It's not the Gamecocks we know and love. Apathy. There's nothing apathetic about this fan base. You know, so that's my little TED talk about settle down for today here on Coffee. So the next news is pretty good. Steve Wiltfong, the Oracle. From On3 slash Rivals, the vice president of recruiting for On3 slash Rivals, And accurate reporter, my friend, great guy. Trust him. One of the great things about going to On3 is getting to work with Steve and Charles Power and Chad Simmons and all the guys on the national team like Pete Nakos. I mean, it's a squad that we have at On3 now. And I remember we got Steve on the boat at 24/7 Sports when I helped start that company, and I helped with the hiring process and personnel, moved the Big Spur over there at the time. And I remember the day he accepted the job, and just grown professionally and all that. So happy. So there's my talk about Steve Wiltfong. I don't know why I'm getting so personally topical today. That's three times. I'm in a great mood. Maybe that's it. It's like the slime in Ghostbusters 2. I'm so happy. I love everybody. No. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, so he reports that, oh, Josh Dobson, the five-star corner from now Huff in Cornelius, North Carolina, obviously Catawba Ridge, top prospect in the state, five-star guy by most accounts. Some maybe not having him five stars. There's some folks that aren't quite sold on him as an elite shutdown corner, but South Carolina is, and Torian Gray is. His opinion obviously is gold. And so he visits this weekend. The report kind of is still look out for A&M, but the Gamecocks have more NIL on the table for him. So there you go. There's a high school prospect that the Gamecocks. I don't know what the amount is, but I don't know if, I doubt they're overpaying, but they tend to maybe want him a little more when it comes to the cheddar. He's always loved the Gamecocks anyway. And South Carolina's felt very good about him for a long time, even with all the A&M talk. So Wiltfong kind of said, hey, Gamecocks are looking okay here. He comes in on his visit this weekend. And I think that's another one. I don't necessarily, since the, there's not a decision Saturday, there's a visit Saturday. But and I've always kind of felt pretty good about him. When the Fong bomb came out for A&M, Chris and Wes and I, Jamie, all four of us were like, the feedback we got was just don't want to worry about it. On South Carolina's, and South Carolina has not been worried about this at all or concerned. It's recruiting again. It's like the weather, so you never know. But I expect him to have a fantastic visit this weekend. And I think the Gamecocks are in pretty good shape there. So what does that mean? Let's just dare to dream a little bit and say, well, what if they get Dobson and Patterson? Does that make everything okay? Nah, because there's still some other guys out there you would have liked to have had in this class. But if you could get these guys in, that's kind of a bonus. It's kind of like the other pass, Sequel Patterson. Getting him in early, and he was originally 2027. When we were talking about how great this class was, on paper, it was a couple of years out. Sequel was the number two player in the state, the number 18 overall player in the country. Well, he reclassifies. He's at Carolina now. There's some that, I mean, you start talking about the receivers, every single one of them comes up at one point or another. We've written and talked about DJ Black because he's come up like a lot more. But there's people that think Sequel Patterson go out there and get reps and make plays this year. So he's a good one. He's a very good one. And so you already have him, so you kind of got ahead. It's kind of like the previous class when you went ahead and got Gidron and Murph in the boat. And now you added in the 2026 in-state class, Julian Walker and Zion Giles, and of course, Jazavian Currents. It's a pretty stout group of in-state talent. If you take the guys that reclassified and mash them in, obviously, kind of what the class was originally. The two Pattersons, you got Josh Dobson in the boat. Nate Carson makes a lot of visits. He's scheduled to visit this weekend. Seth Tillman looks like he's going to Clemson. Which was expected. With Seth Tillman, I'll say this, the Gamecocks made a good run at him after he visited. They needed the early visit to get back in the game. I think sometimes, I have never felt, he came on the radar. I was like, oh, a South Point D tackle, Carolina will get him, because it's a pipeline school. It's not a pipeline like Daniel is to Clemson because it's not right there in Columbia. It's in Rock Hill. But I think sometimes, you'll have a kid that's just like, I want to do my own thing. Darren Kendrick was that way in a lot of ways. And he ended up at Clemson and Georgia from South Point. So you're not gonna get everybody. I don't think I've ever felt confident about it. You never know how it'll end up, but it's not gonna surprise me one bit if he goes with the Tigers. I think that that's what was kind of expected. Nate Carson's a different story. He visited Colorado. I mean, right there in Irmo. We'll see how that progresses. I think he's one that, if he has a great visit, you can turn him, I'm not saying he's easily impressionable or anything. I think he's obviously had a lot of different leaders and things like that. But I think getting the last visit on him is important. I'm not saying Carolina would get him. I would not predict that at this point. But and if, for those that don't know who Nate Carson is, big offensive lineman from Irmo. So you start looking at how the in-state class may come together, and it's one of those things where if you'd have gotten shut out and it ends up that way, that's bad, okay? Bad. And I always say it's okay if something happens once upon a time in state, but you don't want to make it a trend. And the idea is to get your share. And I mean, is this their share, or how does it go? Is Trey Sagara, if he commits to LSU, as people expect, is he on kind of a guy you can flip later, maybe, if you start winning? If we head out of July into August in the season, and this class looks one way, which you want it to look as good as possible. Yeah, you want to have as many good players committed by the end of summer as possible. But you can always add to that, and this staff has. And so, but you have to win. We've talked about the importance of that. I mean, it's very important to win this year. I mean, it's very important not to have a season like 2025 ever again, really. 2023, I guess I see it a little differently than some people. I get 2023. There were tangible reasons with the roster why that team went 5-7. And frankly, at the end of the day, that team could have gotten to a bowl. It would have been great, given everything that had happened. And, a little bit more offense against Clemson, and they win that one, they would have gone to a bowl. And everybody had been talking about how gritty and gutty that team was. But that team obviously was young and bad and beat up on the offensive line. That team had one running back in Mario Anderson, who was about 70% by the end of the year. That team was not very good at edge. That team had youth in the secondary. And in fairness, this is not a criticism. It happens sometimes in coaching. In the middle of the year, when they lost that game to Florida, and really that Florida game is what cost them the bowl. I should have won that one. That was not an inexcusable loss. But in that game, Mississippi State game, Carolina had some severe breakdowns at the secondary. Okay. And what they did was they moved Jalen Kilgore up to nickel and Nick back. And they tried DQ Smith at nickel. That didn't work. Teams were just beating them downfield like crazy. And then they went to the three-man front of the end. So it took the defensive staff right there toward the end of the season. To kind of figure out what to do, and it wasn't all bad on defense that year. The Georgia game in the first half was really good, but that team was probably outside of 21. Yeah, that wasn't a very talented defensive group in 23. And you had Travion Robertson in his first year, and it was a late coaching transition. TJ Sanders and Boogie Huntley and Taka Hemingway were inconsistent. They got better. Once they ended up going to the three-man front, which was good because edge was not good. I mean, there were personnel issues there. Now, did they have personnel issues last year? Were they a little young, like we talked about yesterday? Yes. But and I've said that was a 7 or 8 win football team if things were just a little bit better. Now, that probably would have been disappointing, like I've said. But anyway, 2023, and what scares you about this year is, maybe you got a situation where there's teams that are very good that go into seasons and then boom, 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 three or four key players are out, and that's not your team, right? So that's the SEC. It's very unforgiving. You got 9 games this year. Just 2025 is the one that, obviously sticks in people's craw. But a lot's been fixed, and I think that with this recruiting class, to get back on topic here, one of the ways you're going to fix the current issues with that is the only way is to win. But if you can get Josh Dobson and Amari Patterson in the boat early, they come with you regardless. That's a good start, because guess what? If they committed elsewhere, those are two guys you don't have to go try to flip, and you can use your time resources and other resources to attempt to get some of these other guys that may commit elsewhere or that have committed elsewhere back in the boat. And then all that matters with recruiting, really, at the end, we all ride the roller coaster all year. Again, I'm not telling you to settle down. Is what happens, gosh, now the Wednesday after the Clemson game, when guys start signing. So, all right. So that's how it's set up right now with recruiting. More recruiting talk later this week. Don't forget, coffee is off on Wednesdays during the summer. I think I'll have an episode for Wednesdays and some Fridays. Our flight leaves morning Friday, but maybe I'll get up and have something. I don't know. Don't count. Don't quote me on that. But anyway, no coffee tomorrow unless something big happens. And then back on Thursday. And then don't forget cockyhospitality.com for the wing eating contest. TheBigSpur.com, join for a dollar. Would love to have you over there. The Insiders Forum is hopping. We're over there interacting all day, every day. Pop in and ask us a question. Interact with some of the best Gamecock fans on the planet. All right, JC Sherbert's coffee's over. I'm out. Not that short today. Holla.